When we get back, I shall place the fern in a special container where it can grow and thrive. These plants live forever as we do, and you can care for it always. So now I have the rock, the soil, the flora, and the fauna that is within me, I whispered to Akon, my voice trembling with the depth of my emotion. Oh, my beloved, how wonderful it all is! And you are my love and my life. Calling the horses, Akon lifted me again onto the mare's back. We rode Kisoft-Etli through the lovely countryside, on through fields of waving corn and wheat that grew as natural grasses. Further on there were fields of oats and barley. Corn, or maize, grew in abundance everywhere, while various types of fruit and vegetables grew in areas set aside for such cultivation. There was never any shortage of food, and the vegetation maintained a steady rate of growth in the absence of the retarding effects of the weather or a moon. Luxuriance of vegetation created a high oxygen content within the troposphere, and the animal life balanced this with carbon dioxide ration that is absorbed by the plants. There was nothing, no pollution released into the atmosphere, to deplete the vital ozone layer, which safeguarded the planet against ultraviolet radiation. The atmosphere was fresh and invigorating. One felt full of an alertness of mind and body. To become tired was unknown, one felt relaxed and completely without any nervous tension. Vast agricultural farms supplied the fresh food necessary for the Kisoft-Etli of life and health throughout the planetary system. The great space ships also transported it to other planets, where colonists improved conditions for future generations beyond the confines of Alpha Centauri. For we are the remnant, the descendants of these human beings who developed a great and glorious civilization on Venus. The temperate climate of Meeton, and the other planets within the system, has naturally helped to evolve, to great equanimity, the minds of its inhabitants. Electric storms, which affect the emotions because of changing magnetic fields, occur beyond the equatorial zones in the south Kisoft-Etli and northern hemispheres. The vagaries of climate have been Kisoft-Etli-trolled, and the result is that no extremes of heat and cold intrude upon the temperate and equatorial zones of the planet. Rainfall is high, with moderate humidity because of the vast expanse of the seas. Vegetation is lush and green, covering the surface of the land. Large and small islands make up the land masses, and are inhabited throughout the equatorial regions. The polar caps of the auroral areas provide the wind patterns that temper climatic conditions over the surface of the planet. Earth Kisoft-Etli quakes are unknown. The shifting of land masses has been halted by the magnetic balance of the entire solar system, and the surface is not exposed to varied and sudden atmospheric pressures. Every now and then, the mare I was riding picked a mouthful of swaying oat heads. She was very deft with her nimble mouth, and never slowed down from her fleet, smooth pacing. Having small Kisoft-Etli horses of this breed like to eat little and often. Akon told me that these lovely creatures were indigenous to Venus, and his Kisoft-Etli had brought the white horses and white cattle from Venus to acclimate on Earth and Mars prior to moving out of the Sun system altogether. Loading the creatures into vast motherships, they brought them to Meeton, where they now thrive as they did in the days of yore on Venus, the atmosphere, vegetation and seas being similar to those of the mother planet. The descendants of these white horses still exist in the strain of the Arabians on Earth. The cattle still exist in India, where they are regarded as holy creatures. Their Ulu tribes also covet herds of white cattle. We passed by a silkworm farm where thousands of enormous worms lived on vegetation within enclosed areas. Others, ready to spin, were in large containers where they proceeded to spin a lovely golden thread, fine but very strong, around a wooden peg. Nearby, the silken threads were woven into shimmering material and made up into simple patterns, and people came to choose the colors for gowns and tunics. I felt the delicate folds of my own silken gown, so smooth to the touch and pleasant to wear next to my skin. Akon's people were a natural, constructive and energetic race, each individual doing the work he or she most loved and was suited to. Indeed, they were all individuals, no two alike, and all were completely free and happy without restrictions of any sort. How different from Earth, I thought, where people were mass-produced to conform to fashion and they all looked alike and had to think alike too, otherwise they became something apart, and were shunned by the herd. Back home, we let the horses go and watched them gallop away toward the sea, snowy tails streaming out in the wind of their swift par soft hyphen sage. Joyfully we embraced Player and Haven, who were anxiously wait soft hyphening for us, knowing that the ride and exercise would hasten the birth of Akin's son. We all sat quietly in the lovely living room to watch a scene material soft hyphenize like a curtain across the room. It was a scene in history, back in time, a breathtaking vision in the electric mirage. It showed a fair-skinned people with almond eyes surveying a new planet and talking among themselves in a strange and beautiful language. The land was tropical and overgrown with lush vegetation. Great trees, festooned with creepers, encroached to the edge of broad sandy beaches where long glistening breakers crashed on the golden sands in foaming agitation that indicated the restless at most soft hyphen sphere. Wild creatures chattered and screamed within the dense foliage, which was alive with the sounds of teeming life, virile and ruthless in the fecundity of such a warm and humid atmosphere. The sky was dark and stormy, with long clouds scudding across the sky. Behind the people, a small circular spaceship rested on the wide beach. Our first scientific survey ship had just arrived on Earth, Akin said, landing on a strange planet for the first time. The great landmasses were harsh and primitive, with many volcanoes, and the seas were tempestuous soft hyphen ouse and ruthless. The planet took many, many years of taming before we could live on the surface. The scene shifted again, showing the surface of another planet, a very different planet, with a beautiful curve of beach meeting a vast, deep blue sea, tranquil beneath a sapphire sky. The emerald green of rolling grass soft hyphen lands sloped away to mountains topped with rose-red cliffs. Great trees dotted the landscape, many colored flowers carpeted the rich terrain and an elusive and haunting fragrance mixed with the tang of the vast seas. The fresh foliage and flora of the land delighted my senses, and I took deep breaths of it. This was Venus. Its glory lived again in the electric mirage, the deep atmosphere reflecting the close and intense radiation of the sun. The planet reflected the light out into space, with only beneficial radiation filtering through the vast ionosphere and the wide ozone layer to the azure soft hyphen face. In this way Venus was protected against lethal radiation from its star. Cosmic dust, attracted by the sun, formed high, noctilucent clouds around the planet, adding more light to its reflection. Venus is a home of life in the vast void of the heavens, where there is no darkness in its slow rotation. Its proximity to the sun keeps the upper depths of the atmosphere illuminated with a glowing twilight throughout the night. One's mind needs to encompass the entire universe to realize and know what it is all about. Then Thetan spoke in the beautiful language of his people. A trans soft hyphen lashin came directly into my ears from the high back of the couch Akin and I was sitting on. The cradle of humankind, the mother planet, brought forth the human race out of vast, warm seas covering her surface with sapphire blue. We were spawned in the salty seas, and our blood still harbors her brine. Our lifeblood is but a legacy of the salty seas. It was during the early middle age of this solar system that the dawn of human life evolved. The emergence of humankind in a supernova created an adaptable species of life, retaining always a love for the seas from whence they came, the womb of our creation, with the life-giving liquid still running through our veins. For we are the remnant, the descendants of those human beings who developed a great and glorious civilization on Venus. They were starby soft hyphenized by peace and harmony among themselves, and with nature and the universe. Scattered isles like emeralds slumbered in the filtered rays of the waxing sun, a deep reflective atmosphere of cerulean sky, with snowy clouds to bring the rains of a gentle clime, gave breath to our forebears, who swam in the warm seas and breathed the fresh oxygen of a moist atmosphere. Hair or fur on the body was unnecessary, as the warm cli-soft hyphen mate, stable atmosphere and tranquil seas gave protection. Long, beauty soft hyphen full hair on the head protected the brain from cosmic rays. The hair was full of static electricity for this reason and was blonde or golden to reflect the rays. Pubic areas of the body were also protected by hair. The original Venusians would lie out on the golden sands when coming out of the sea, to sleep during the twilight hours. Through eons they lived in the seas and on islands of breathtaking beauty, getting their nourishment from the plants of the seas and the land. Radiation from the star was filtered through a dense atmosphere during daylight when our ancestors spent their time in the sea. Thus there was no pigment in the skin, which has remained white and delicate, as it is with us, to this epoch in time. We have a natural longing for the sea, handed down to us through the ages. We care for our white skin against the damaging radiation of stars. Evolving through a peaceful existence in harmony with nature, our science and technology expanded. We explored the higher atmosphere, anxious to discover what lay beyond the high clouds of cosmic dust. Our scientists perfected skyships filled with helium to float beyond the limits of the atmosphere, where we discovered other worlds shining with the reflected light of the sun. We then wished to explore these other worlds, and perfected spaceships to cross the far reaches of space. We reached our neighbor world, a binary system, which seemed most interesting, with the larger planet harboring life. After landing on Earth, which we showed you in the first reflection in time, we continued into space and landed on Mars, thereby encompassing the three inner planets of the solar system where the temperature range from the star permits the existence of active life as we know it. These are three planets flourished in peace and harmony through eons of time. But ever alert to protecting their heritage in a violent universe, the scientists of this utopia detected a flaw in the rhythm of the sun. As it aged, it became a variable star and expanded with lethal radiation in cycles of time in its path of evolution. The cycle recurs more frequently as the star ages and loses the pressure balance within. Our scientists traveled outward in their starships, away from the mother system, to seek a new and waxing star system to harbor the post-soft hyphen pools of their civilization and perpetuate their race. Vast spaceships were constructed to travel the fathomless reaches of interstellar space and carry the millions of people away from the sun's system. Our science-soft hyphenists found a neighboring system and they landed there, setting up their headquarters on four young planets capable of harboring life as we know it. In time, our civilization improved conditions on the remaining three planets of the system, and now we occupy the entire solar system known as Alpha Centauri. The spaceships we use to take our civilization to Alpha Centauri are known as motherships. They are vintage ships, but are still in use at this time. We carried the horses, cattle and other gentle types of anisoft hyphen mouths in these spaceships to their new homes in Alpha Centauri, as well as many species of birds. The scientists left a remnant of their people on Earth to father a new race of humankind adapted to a flaring star. They maintained lands in the far northern hemisphere of the planet, as natural upheavals through the eons changed the face of the lands and the seas in the equatorial and southern regions. The descendants of these people are now so interbred and sorely affected by continuous cycles of climatic and environmental changes and extremes of weather that they are almost unrecognizable. Except for some of them here and there, they no longer bear any rhizome-soft hyphen plants to the tall, golden-skinned race of humankind, with aquiline-soft hyphenters and almond eyes, who are our forebears from Venus and who are far removed from the present savagery of the human mind in the intensity and depravity of the present time on Earth. Violence and annihilation will be the outcome for people of Earth, unless they change their attitude of mind. They need to become enlightened hyphen end to the truths of the universe in which they live, and follow their forebears into space to find the escape route to the stars and their destiny. A harsh and precarious existence is endured by the inhabitants of Earth, where rigid social laws have to be maintained. Many would otherwise be trampled beneath the rushing feet of their avid companions on a world where politics and a primitive system still exist. Aha, I thought as Akan began to speak. Now is the time for straight talking and the truth. According to Earth scientists, stellar distances are expressed in parsecs, 1 parsec being the distance at which the angle of parallax is 1 second of arcade, 30 billion kilometers or 3.26 light years. The parallax of the nearest star to Earth, Proxima Centauri, is 0.76, corresponding to a distance of 1.31 parsecs or 4.3 light years. To use the light year, since light traveling at 3 million kilometers a second covers some 10 billion km/s in a year, this means that the distance between Earth and Proxima Centauri is about 42 billion kilometers. Thetan mentioned before, when we were in the mothership, that these stars, a triplet system, are of type G or K, similar to the Sun. This star system known as Alpha Centauri is 39 billion kilometers, or 4 light years, from Earth. Therefore, this star system is closer to Earth than astronomers have calculated. With your present instruments, stellar distance determination is difficult even in the case of the nearer stars. Astronomers classify a star by its spectral lines, from which its intrinsic luminosity can be inferred, and hence its distance estimated from its apparent brightness in the sky. Twinkling stars seem to be related to star-like objects and not to extragalactic nebulae. Astronomers thought that these objects might actually be stars. A radio source lies in the direction of the constellation Centaurus, emanating from a distant galaxy of unusual mass and bright soft-ness. This galaxy possesses a nucleus equivalent to 100 million suns, concentrated in a volume of space smaller than that occupied by your solar system. The twinkling radio source is coming from this galaxy out in intergalactic space. Earth scientists still cannot grasp the concept of cosmic knowledge and understanding. One's mind needs to encompass the entire universe to realize and know what it is all about. Instruments are still limited and affected by the sun's corona. It was mentioned earlier, when we were in the mothership, that the sun's tenuous corona extends so far from the visible disk that Earth and Mars are enveloped in it. This simply means that Earth and its atmospheric sheath are not moving in a perfect vacuum at all. The tenuous corona, the outer atmosphere of the sun known as the ecosphere, is at a temperature suitable for the existence of advanced life. In other words, 3 planets, Venus, Earth and Mars, are within the temperature range of the sun, which permits the existence of active life as we know it. We can see the corona encircling the sun like a halo, the pulsing streamers of the sun's atmosphere. Further out it becomes more tenuous and invisible. That is the sun's outer atmosphere, or ecosphere. The corona is best observed from Earth during a total eclipse. The sun's corona is a dense concentration of the particles that radiate to the outer regions of the solar system. The exosphere is the outer atmosphere of a planet. We observe all this data through the lens of our cosmic understanding. It must all be observed as a whole. It is no good observing and understanding your environment in the galaxy by what goes on in the bottom of your garden. We do not feel the effect of cosmic storms at the bottom of our garden, because we live at the bottom of an ocean of air that provides a stout shield against the rays that bombard our planet. Solar flares burst from the surface of the sun. These flares are responsible for the solar storms that bombard the Earth with abnormal amounts of radiation. This also occurs with the stars in this system, but owing to the distance between our star, Proxima Centauri, and the binary system of Alpha Centauri, we call the entire star system a triplet system. We are not unduly affected by solar storms. The average separation between the stars in a spiral arm is 8 light-years. Our science, and our knowledge of these distances, of course, are quite different, because our civilization and achievements are far in advance of anything known on Earth. I am outlining these simple explanations in Earth terms so that when you write this down, my beloved, The average people on Earth will have an understanding of their environment within the cosmos. Their minds are, as a rule, restricted to their backyards. Do you think it would help to give them more information? I asked. Definitely not, Akon sternly replied. They would only use it for political and military purposes. So you see, he continued, this star that is nearest your sun lies at a distance of more than 4 light-years, which is roughly equal to 39 billion kilometers according to Earth astronomers, as their calculations vary. Alpha Centauri is a binary system and Proxima, at 4.2 light-years, is a far-out member of the Alpha Centauri group. They calculate Alpha Centauri as being at a distance of 4.3 light-years. All this makes Venus and Mars very close by to Earth people, and Earth lies near the center of the Sun's ecosphere region, which gives it an advantage over Venus and Mars. There is thunderstorm activity in the atmosphere of Venus, as the upper atmospheric layers are cold, while those near the surface are very hot. We are now improving these consoft high conditions, cooling the atmosphere to surface level in order to allow these thunderstorms to produce precipitation. This, in turn, will bring moisture and the cooling of the land, and then flooding to create lakes and seas. Mars still has active volcanoes, which are the breath of life. Its riverbeds will run once more with the waters of life, when we take over these planned soft hyphenets again. We will do so to prevent the wanton destruction that would be their lot if humankind from Earth were to take over. Oh, I said softly. I am so glad. There is much more to tell you, Akon said, but that must wait now. I had no idea of the time as we keep it on Earth, but I sense the time going so fast, so very fast, and I dared not think of the future. I just lived for the glory of the moving present. The fantastic scene shimmered away into nothing. I was stunned and overwhelmed by the magnitude of it all, and above all, by these wonderful people who had overcome their fear of the unknown and moved out into the vast reaches beyond their home system. They ventured out beyond their known ken to explore and prepare for future generations and bring the magic lease of life back to Venus and Mars. The orange disk of Proxima Centauri lowered in the sky toward the mountains with the slow rotation of Meton. The trees cast long shadows over the emerald sward and the vast expanse of sea darkened in its blueness, but night did not come. The magnificent twin stars of Alpha Centauri rose over the sea, and the atmosphere filled with the golden light and the swelling chorus of many birds. The fresh tang of the sea filled the room as Claire told me, we do not have books, but instead we keep our history in visual sound libra soft-i, such as these magnetic rolls. When the rolls are electrified, they show the scene that you saw portrayed across the room. These rolls go back in time to when our scientists perfected such means of reflections in time, like photographing images in the atmosphere, such as thought forms and planetary scenes of the past, present and future. We can hear the hissing breath of a planet vibrating in the sound waves of time, fansoft-ning out beyond the light barrier, sounding on the harmonic chords of the heart rhythm of the parent race, and we go to gather it back into the fold. And that is what you are now doing to Venus and Mars, I reflected. How wonderful to have this awareness of a planet's life, to be aware that a planet is a living entity that is entitled to care and consideration like anything else. And you, my dear, were ready to come out into the depths of Pasoft-Sonal experience, and you have therefore attained this privilege of being witness to other worlds beyond your own. We have affinity of mind and are closer than sisters. Claire put her arm around me, lifting me out of the soft couch. Come, she said. I will take you to your bed. You must rest now. We went up the gently sloping stairs to the first floor and into a room that opened off the circular balcony. Half of the circular wall of the room was open to the fresh air, and a low oval divan lay in the center of the room, covered with rose-red silk. A toilet room opened in the wall with a large sunken bath, long mirrors and exotic plants growing around the glowing walls. The sunken bath, made of mother-of-pearl, was in the middle of the room. Claire slipped my silken gown off and gently but very firmly laid me down on the divan, then proceeded to massage my back with long, firm strokes. I stretched out on the firm comfort of the divan and felt every muscle in my body relax. Akin bent over me and kissed my forehead. I knew the time of birth was at hand, and I relaxed in mind and body as Akin calmly organized the birth of his son with endearing words and the massage of his healing hands. I felt the power of his hands on my body as he gently massaged my tummy and my thighs, encouraging my confidence, erasing all tension and creating an atmosphere of joy and contentment with his loving care and attention. Gently, turning me onto my side again, he massaged my back. No pangs of contraction coursed through my thighs. There was a silence so deep as I felt Akin's hands turn me onto my back again. He tenderly stroked my hair back and told me to go to sleep. Wondering in my half-asleep state where I had heard him say this before, my mind was illumined soft hyphenated suddenly with the vision and knowledge of our perfect unity, and I knew we had always been together through the pastures of time. Pushed down gently, Akin said. Take a deep breath, and push again. There was no tension, no pain, no sense of labor or strain as Akin placed my feet flat on the divan, bending my knees up and holding them wide apart. I had a sense of comfort and well-being, as if I were floating on a cushion of air, yet I was aware that I was fully dilated and ready to give birth to our son. Then suddenly, with no effort at all, just a deep feeling of achievement and pleasure, he was born gently and smoothly, coming away with the placenta. Akin extricated him from it and Claire dried him in the scented air that was moist with the fragrance of the sea. A beautiful son for you both, Claire said, placing him in my arms to suckle. He is perfectly formed, with your golden hair and eyes. Born naturally and easily, his debut into the outside worlds is completely with soft hyphen out shock to his system. His smooth, golden skin was without wrinkles, and as I gathered his warm, naked body to my breast, Akin put his arms about us both. My beloved brought me back to the universe and the knowledge of who I am through the golden glory of love's light, and the fathomless seas of space revealed the truth of life where love and creation is the secret. We all rejoiced in the happiness of our unity. Many friends and real soft hyphentives came from far and wide to see Akin's son. He is unusual and very special, they said. He will become a great scientist. On Earth the rhythm of my heart would never be the same again after living on Meeton. My son's growing period was full of wonder for me. He gently suckled the milk of life from me, and as his beautiful white teeth formed, he turned to the natural diet we all shared. At no time did Akin and I leave him alone. He shared the music with us. He came with us on Akin's back for walks and he came with us when we rode the white horses to the mounds soft hyphen tains or bathed in the sea. The pure air and healthy climate, along with the delicious foods and water full of vitamins and trace elements, soon restored my health. Akin made us have long periods of sleep, stretched out on the comfortable divan, and my son would snuggle into my arms. He never fret soft hyphen Ted and cried as earth babies do. He was happy and contented, but always full of life and intelligence, taking note of everything around him. Nothing escaped his discerning golden eyes and his rapidly forming intellect as he grew into a beautiful child, gentle and considerate. He slept long hours on his own divan in the room where he was born, the beautiful room open to the sky, while Akin and I spent our time together tending the gardens, the horses and the birds, playing lovely music on stringed instruments or lying together on the big divan for hours of peaceful slumber and love. I played an instrument with a keyboard and found that I could create the most lovely music by just playing the notes in the same fashion as a piano keyboard. The white keys were made of pearl with a pink luster and the black keys of deep red garnets that looked black without light under soft hyphen neath. It was a lovely little musical instrument like a celesta, hand-carved from the golden wood of the mountain trees, which gave it a harmonious soundboard. I loved it very much and wished I could always have one. Perhaps you will, my beloved, Achan would gently say. The days were serene and glorious.